Maybe. I think we should be grateful. Grateful that we've managed to survive through all of our adventures. Whether they were real or only a dream.
Are you sure of that?
Am I sure? Only as sure as I am that the reality of one night, let alone that of a whole lifetime, can ever be the whole truth.
And no dream is ever just a dream.
My name is
That person talking will no longer have a name on this podcast. We're not even going to.
That's
do
right.
This intro,
I am now officially the unnamed podcaster.
Right. However, we have a fourth with us this week, and I was thinking to myself how best to introduce this guest, who I've talked to so many times, but we have one word for this kind of person. He's not just a great
Slut.
Podcast producer. Mm-hmm. Or a great content writer over at thematinee.ca, host of the Matinee Cast, but he's also a great castitute, which we invented. We trademarked that word, and we'd like to welcome you onto the show, Castitute Ryan.
I was close with slut. How about that?
We don't slut shame on this podcast. We castitute shame. That's a big difference.
I am so happy to be here. You have no idea.
Oh man, we're actually recording on a different night than normal, and it feels weird. It's been a while since we've sat together on a Saturday night.
Yeah, we used to do Saturday nights all the time.
And drink.
No, not so much. Yes, yes, there used to be.
I do have coffee here, which I've finished, right? But no, we have. I think our lack of beer options have stopped us from really drinking on the podcast.
Yeah.
What? Red Stripe, the Hooray Beer. What? Wasn't that the ad? No, they changed it to. There was an actual beer in the Red Stripe ads, the later ones, right? Like there was a physical beer.
That's a long time ago. The latest ones now apparently have, for safety purposes, a beer kind of spilling on top of a television showing 60s shows, so that somehow you then go back in time to the 60s and drink beer with Ernie Smith or some shit like that.
Oh, when it was acceptable to drink Red Stripe because you didn't know any better.
Yeah,
oh,
pretty much. Yeah.
I'm upset with you guys for trying to validate Red Stripe beer.
Well, Red Stripe, hey, it tastes fine. It's just, you know, the only thing
does
that
it,
we have.
Does it
yes,
taste
it does.
Fine?
It does. It? It's actually quite a decent
Are
beer.
You drinking right now, Ryan? You should be drinking at this point.
I think I'm going to start.
That's the only way you can last the whole podcast.
It helps with the pain.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Anyways, we're here together this week to discuss Park Chan-wook's latest film, The Handmaiden, in which a con man tries to find his way into marriage of a wealthy woman in order to get her riches, and he brings in another lady to be her handmaiden so that he can be helped in conning said lady. Message you really late this week asking if you wanted to come on and talk about this movie. I know I'd like to assume that, like the rest of us, you were highly anticipating this film. Can you tell me?
I was. Well, the funny thing about it was I didn't see it at TIFF, but it did land on my radar because it's a Park Chan-wook movie. I was sort of thrown off because it turned out I knew this movie, and I didn't find that out until well into TIFF. Like, I looked at it and I moved on. I just couldn't work it into my schedule. But as people saw it, it started coming back to me that I had read the book that it was based on. And so I was like, wait a second. That book that I read about the English people back in, like, Dickensian England, that's this movie? Oh, okay. Wow. People are going to be in for a little bit of a surprise when they really get into it. Because I remember reading that one on the train and feeling like everybody was looking at me and they knew what I was reading.
Are you telling me that you're a guilty soul?
Listen. I was raised Catholic, so pretty much yes. It's one of those weird things, man, where you can be listening to something and feel like everybody can know what you're listening to. There's times where I'm in the office and I listen to like some songs by Rihanna where like the lyrics get really, really nasty. And I'm like, everybody knows. First of all, everybody knows that I'm like the late 30s guy listening to Rihanna. Let's start there. And everybody knows which track.
I take solace in knowing that you use Rihanna as the example for such an act. Mm-hmm. All right. We have dancehall here. So, so we have no,
yeah, Rihanna might as well be singing church music compared to what we're putting out.
See, now I want some of this. Like, mm-hmm. You need to send me some of these songs so I can listen to them.
No, you think you do? You really do. It's sad how quickly, I know, Ryan, you couldn't see it, but it's sad how the knee-jerk reaction of all three of us was to immediately and violently just shake our heads at the same time.
Look at me. Oh, man.
I think you need an email trail with Damien sending you links.
especially out of context. Like, if you're born here, you could see it slowly getting away from everybody to the point, though, where everybody's like, no, no one should listen to this. We still do, but no one should.
But if awesome.
I just start sending, you know, you'd be like, what the hell is happening in Jamaica?
So was this like, did you guys have to like twist arms to get everybody to watch this, or was this on everybody's radar over there?
It said Park Chan-wook and everybody was jumping up and down.
Yeah, we've been big Park Chan-wook fans for a while now.
I don't know if like you would have been sullied with Stoker or something like that. I thought you would be wondering like, hey, listen, man, this isn't that bloody of a movie either.
No, that's true. But by the way, just to let you know, Stoker
something
is
about
the best.
Stoker?
Right? Let's not get into this argument, Damien.
I just heard
Damien
words about
Damien.
Stoker.
Damien,
your favorite movie.
I know I'm confused and angry.
I like Stoker.
Oh,
I just know that
everybody does. All right, cool.
I think we need to get back to The Handmaiden, though. Before we get too far into just listing Park Chan-wook's credits, right? Damien.
Hi.
You have been known to be called Damien the Revenge White.
Yes.
Yes. No, it's Damien KR, Damien Korea Revenge White. Okay.
Which is why you and Park Chan-wook still have an email thread going.
Yep.
Where he asks you for tips and you
Big
tell
fans.
Him
yes.
what he needs to do in order to get it ready.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did he follow your instructions to the T, or are you upset that he went too vanilla with this movie?
No, I actually really, really love this movie. when, like, because I didn't realize, and I don't think most people did, that you are going to be seeing this movie from multiple perspectives. So, about an hour in, when someone is sent to the loony bin, he went, all right, so assuming she's going to break out and now murder all of the people. Which I was down with, because there was still like an hour and a half left in the movie, because it's pretty long.
In your head, you had set up a revenge plot. And I'm like, we need to be executed.
I'm like, I know where this is going. She's going to spend 2 years in this place, actually become mad. But the only thing that will tie her to reality is her hatred for these people. And she's going to go back around. She's going to lay the snow blood. I'm like, all right, fine. And then you saw, then it switched and you're like, oh, it's from the other lady's perspective. But when I realized it was from the other lady's perspective, that is when I realized that it couldn't be that revenge movie, because there would be no point in showing what her view of things if the girl was just going to come back and murder everybody. And so I went from being kind of excited to very excited, because I didn't actually know what was about to happen. And I mean, there's not a lot of revenging happening in this movie. It's just,
there certainly is some quality revenging, though.
I mean, it's a lot of conning people happening in the movie. There's a lot of comeuppance.
Revenge does take place.
There's comeuppance. It's not capital R revenge. Yeah. A lot of tricks happen. And I especially liked what happened to the uncle and the main guy.
The Count.
One of my favorite parts of the movie, and this is close to the end, when they're in the Count's basement and he has his book thing, there's a giant squid in a tank behind him for no reason.
No. Yeah.
And I saw it away. Why is there a giant squid there? And for a second, I'm like,
That is a man who has seen one too many dirty paintings.
Right. Yep, exactly.
And he's thinking in his head, I don't know why I need to have this.
But I need to have this.
Because there's going to be a woman come into my life who's going to say, do you have a squid? Uh-huh. And if not, if I don't have one, the night is going
to
be ruined.
You need to say yes to that question at a point.
Yeah, you know.
The thing that popped to me in that scene.
Both have a bottle of Zinfandel in their fridge. Just in case.
The thing that popped to me in that scene is that while the octopus is big and strong in that scene where you're like, fuck, there's an octopus. like I was seeing like vaginas in jars, and I was like, what the fuck are you doing on petite vaginas?
But he seems crazy enough to have those things. A giant octopus in a squid is like you saw, you're like, what is he doing?
It's because of that book. There was one of the books with the octopus. I'm sure that's what it had to do with.
I understand, but
I assumed it had to do something like with pig farms and
so what you're saying is octopuses eat through genitalia like nobody's business.
I assume that's what the speech was going to happen at a point.
I don't know, I'm not a scientist.
Speaking of which, I need to watch that movie again.
What movie?
Snatch. So good. Snatch, yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah.
Watch Stoker first.
Yeah.
Then you won't get to Snatch.
By the way, I could tell you something. That whole scene, not in the book. That was a surprise.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that,
like, I did not read this version.
Wait, that's the Park Chan.
Yeah, that seemed to fall straight out of his head.
Yes. He said, hold on, I like this movie, but there's not enough revenge.
It was nicely summed up when the guy was like, I'm just a dirty old man and who likes his filthy stories. Yep. I was like, this seems a little meta at this moment.
Yep. It's nice to know that he knows what he is. He's not pretending anymore. Listen, I'm just a connoisseur of books. Nope. I'm a dirty old man.
Talking about that, however, weirdly enough, what I was thinking about with this movie, one of the things that people talk about when they talk about Park Chan-wook films, from Sympathy for Lady Vengeance all the way up to Stoker, everyone has sexual moments that make the audience almost cringe, right? Due to, sometimes it has to do with age appropriateness, sometimes it just has to do with the relationship on screen. Weirdly enough, with this movie that went all out with the sexual elements to the point that you could compare it with things like Blue is the Warmest Color. It never had me at a point where it was like cringing, where I was going like, this feels wrong to watch, right? It just felt like a sex scene that was in a movie, right? It could more, it's more graphic than most movies, but nothing about it was me going like, something is intrinsically wrong about what I'm watching, right? And it felt strange for a Park Chan-wook to, movie to do that. And I don't know if it's that Park Chan-wook has prepared me for this moment.
Oh, you're,
and I'm now,
he's dialing down now.
You're just numb to his nonsense. Like, I know when I sat down, it said Park Chan-wook. At the front, I'm okay. I've adjusted myself.
Did you guys have that feeling at all watching this movie versus his previous works of how he plays on these things?
Watching... Like, in the second act, or the second part, or whatever it was, watching them, the Count and whatever her name is, trying to convince the handmaiden that they actually liked each other, watching those stilted kisses, and him grabbing her, and just watching the expression on her face, I went, this is, like, it felt... That's the only part of the movie I went. Yeah, that I can feel the her despise of this man, just her hatred for this man, and the things that she has to do in order to convince this woman. But it didn't feel out of like it felt how she was supposed to feel. It didn't feel out of place in the movie, but because it's him, he had to have a scene like this somewhere. And so he put it in the movie. But from, like, when the movie started, it started with the children and the man screaming at them, and then you saw them in the shop. I'm like, where the hell is this movie going? This doesn't feel, like, it doesn't feel aggressive enough. It feels kind of... like Downton Abbey-ish when the movie started. And then it just kept going. And then by the end, you're like, I know who made this movie, which is impressive. Because none, like, Stoker feels like his movie from the word go. And, but this is the first one that for a little bit, I'm just like, I don't think Andrew and Douglas will like this movie because it feels... kind of like a period piece type movie. I went, I think they might come back here and finally have
well,
a Park
Chan-wook movie. I have seen this movie already.
Oh, right.
Right? Because
you
I
saw
it
at the festival.
Yeah. So I might be the only one of the four of us to say that he's watched it twice.
No, I'm sure Damon's seen this three times.
I've seen it twice.
At least certain parts.
I've seen it. All of it twice.
Well done, Damon. Well done.
Damon does that. You know that.
Yeah, I know. That's
the
true.
Moment he likes a movie, he comes here and he's like, I'll watch it four times.
It's like me and the Valley of Violence. Mm.
No, that's how you listen to music. It you is. Don't just listen to it once and I am done. And move on.
I'm still listening to the Margaret Price album on repeat.
Oh, my.
Does he like bad music?
remind me later on to tell you my Margot Price story. During TIFF, I got a good one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I think... Anyway. Mm-hmm.
But Douglas, you've been kind of quiet over there.
I have been, because I honestly... I have a lot to say about... A little bit to say about this movie, but I really want to hear what Ryan has to say about this. I'm intrigued.
Well, no, I like this movie a lot. It was... As I said, the fact that... it's usually, I don't know if I'm losing my edge as a pop culture vulture, but the fact that this movie was made and I didn't know I was reading the book that it was based on, the fact that it just like, pardon the metaphor, smacked me in the face, but out of nowhere was kind of what threw me off the most. I didn't expect this coming out of Park Chan-wook. Like, I expect him, from him now more the... Like Damien was saying, the violence and the bloodletting and the inappropriate sex. This has got inappropriate sex of a... Actually, no. There's no inappropriate sex in this movie, like, at all. It's all, you know, it's all very, very titillating and everything, but none of it is actually inappropriate anyway. It's all consenting adults. I was like, no, what fun is that? That's not why I go to movies. Yeah,
he needed that octopus in the scene to make it work.
Just to make you think, I'm like waiting. Well, that's the thing, that whole scene, because it wasn't in the book and the octopus was there, I'm like, that's like Chekhov's octopus right there. I'm waiting for that octopus to go off.
Ryan, I need your permission to put Chekhov's octopus on a shirt.
with a picture of that octopus.
I would like a copy of that shirt, please. When we get the other shirts. Right?
I love this movie. Like, from end to end, I love this movie. I love, like, all of the scenes between the two women were just so fantastic. I was actually really kind of disappointed that we were going to have to back up and like let the Count do his thing, because I was like, you know, you jackass, you're just in there to mess shit up. Let's like hang out with these two more, and you know, watch their weird little chemistry. It's the strange part for me was trying to get used to seeing it all set in. Remind me, was it set in Korea or was it set in Japan?
This was
in Korea.
Korea, and yeah, it was just a Japanese dude. Expats, right?
Actually, no, the guy was not.
Yeah, because they speak both.
Yeah,
and that was the one thing I didn't quite catch off the top. So, you know, I read it as an English book set in like Dickensian England. So it was very Downton Abbey in my head. Mm-hmm. So when it came time to actually watch them moving around the house and how they were dressing and how they were, you know, even just the book she was reading were all scrolls. That part for me was kind of the most interesting part. The one of the carries over from the book that I was actually really happy to see was there is how the girl is always wearing gloves. Except with her handmaiden. Did you notice that shit?
I didn't quite catch that.
She's always got gloves on, except when she's having her love scenes with the other girl. That's the only time that she's got like bare hands. And that was the other thing that was in the novel. So I was actually happy to kind of see that come over. This is a really, really good.
I mean, do you normally keep your gloves on when you're having sex? I mean,
if you're in R100, you do.
I guess. All right.
Oh, yeah. God damn that movie.
That movie is so good.
I love that movie. It's special.
I won't ever need to wear gloves. That's great. I live somewhere that people should live.
Ryan, on the other hand, he has to wear gloves.
Yeah, I live somewhere where humans are supposed to thrive.
It's cold here, man, you know? Like, I gotta keep socks on, I gotta keep gloves on.
No.
You know.
I wear socks as an accessory. I've on red socks now, just cause. I don't need it.
Why do you have red socks?
Because I like socks. I like colored socks.
Yeah. Are you one of those people who has, like themed socks, like Christmas-themed socks?
I mean, they're not themed, they're just colorful.
you're supposed to match them to the tie.
Yeah.
Damon doesn't wear ties.
Well, he's wearing socks. What do you know?
I guess.
I have a tie under this t-shirt. Oh,
yeah. Andrew, you've been quiet about this. Andrew, you've been quiet about this movie. What did you think, man?
I actually found it quite interesting. Like, I liked the multiple perspectives. I liked seeing it change as it went through. I did feel that it might have been a little bit long, because there were moments where I feel that even though it wanted to highlight the differing perspective, there wasn't enough added there for me to be like, yeah, that made sense for me to have to watch that scene again, right? There were, especially as it dealt with the Count and his perspective. And it might have just been like you, Ryan, where I'm like, look, the women are the more interesting characters here. Why do I care about this jackass guy who, it turns out, is the worst? Right? Not so much a bad person as much as he's just bad at what he's trying to do.
No, he's a bad person. Let's not let him off.
But he's also bad at his job that he's attempting to accomplish.
He's not a bad person. He's
Korean. He's really, really good at selecting fruit.
It's really ripe. It's really ripe. The person who I would have loved to have seen more of is the uncle. To see what the hell was going on with him.
Nope.
Because that would have been the weird Park Chan-wook movie. And that's why we're talking about this octopus so much. Because that's when we get to meet the uncle, really.
Yeah. Right? I'm glad we didn't spend more time with the uncle. Not in this movie. Maybe in his own movie.
Yeah. in Stoker.
Do you want to go to one of his? Do you want to one of his library readings where he just has the niece read to all? Do you want to be one of those men sitting there?
If I'm allowed not to be judged, then I can just watch and see and be like, "This is crazy."
If you're there,
I really like that scene. That scene is great.
If you're there, everybody else that is also there know is forever. Inside, like, you guys won't even speak to each other when you see each other. That is a wrap.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like how I imagine, like, 70s porn theaters. Like, every time I hear about them, I honestly can't believe they really existed. Mm-hmm. Because that's a moment where no one wants to admit there's another person near them, right? And you look to your left and you see someone else, you're like, I'm not going to admit this to myself in my head.
Right, like, people don't admit to paying for pornography, no. Even though it makes billions of dollars. Can you imagine walking into a theater knowing what you're there to do and seeing someone you know as a rap? Your friendship is over.
No, your friendship is bound at that point. You both did it.
You two never speak to each other. You die knowing that the next man, that you knew what he did, and he knows what you did, but don't talk about anything ever again.
I don't know. Did you see that game last night? No. Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Never speak to me again.
Yeah, how about them Packers? Oh. But this movie...
That was the crazy thing. Like, I went to see this movie. This movie's not absolute filth. I've seen dirtier mainstream movies and dirtier arty movies, but still, every time I go to see a movie like this and I'm sitting by myself, I feel judged.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what would have been better if I hadn't seen this by myself, which I did. This was right in there with like the Nymphomaniac double feature, or if I had have been Lindsay who watched this sitting next to my brother. You know, I don't know which one's better.
I can't tell you which one's worse.
She was sitting next to my brother and in front of Douglas. So,
together,
if we really want to double down.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember being in there with those guys.
Yeah, of course you didn't.
Because you don't
because
want
something
to
traumatic happened in the theater and you're not talking about. Wait, people? No, there was no one. I watched this movie in an empty theater.
Yes, that's right. There was an octopus? What? What are you talking about?
So Douglas, it's time for you to fess up.
Time for me to fess up? So listen, I love this movie, right? I loved it from day one. When I saw it at TIFF, it was great. And I remember being surprised at what this was. Just like how you said, Damien, it started off and you realized, first of all, oh my goodness, this is a period piece. I have never seen Park Chan-wook do a period piece. And for some reason, it started off and I said, but period pieces are all, nice and people speak with British accents and say witty things.
And Hugh Grant is in it.
Exactly. And there are four weddings, three funerals, and a baby shower. And good things happen.
Right.
All right.
Anthony Hopkins usually shows up as a butler.
There you go.
So, and my cocaine.
Can we add German ants to this cast?
Yep.
Just for the sake of it.
Why not?
Fair enough. and bride's heads get revisited and all sorts of shit. But, but I remember kind of watching that and being a little bit taken aback, but still the richness of colors and the just beauty that is on the screen was breathtaking. And so and this movie definitely takes a while to kind of build into its Park Chan-wookian state.
Every time you say, when you said Wookiean, I thought of Star Wars.
Of course you did.
Of course you did.
Every time I go to the theater, I see that Star Wars ad.
Rogue One?
Yeah, and I get sad because one of my favorite directors has to make one of those movies. Which means I have to watch another Star Wars movie.
Yes, you do. Yep.
Just be happy that you get to see more Star Wars. It's a good thing.
Yeah, no, that's the emotion that I have when I think about Star Wars happiness.
Just Mm-hmm. Go to every Star Wars movie, mm-hmm. close your eyes, and think about The Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
That's what happens. No?
And then what? what do I do to...
Why one, do you not like these
once
movies?
Once the
what's
emptiness
you,
is
Damian?
Out of my body, then what
Star
happens?
Wars is the greatest.
Damien, are you not excited at least for the Han Solo movie?
What? No.
With Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian?
I don't think there have ever been any good Star Wars stories.
Oh my, what is wrong? Oh my
no,
lord.
What's I haven't played any of the KOTOR games, and I hear that of all of the pieces of media that Star Wars has come up with, that second Knights of the Old Republic game is the best. But I'm not going to play a 100-hour RPG in a story that I can barely stand. That doesn't make any sense.
I stopped listening to you back after I played the game.
I've been playing Civ 6 all this weekend.
That's fine. Guys, it's fine, right? You guys won. Don't you understand? You are going to get Star Wars movies one a year forever. Right?
At least until the money runs out.
Marvel fans and Star Wars fans rejoice. Everything wanted.
You forgot about the Lego
going
fans.
To happen.
They're also in it right now.
Damien, it could be worse. They could reboot it.
Wait, sorry, they haven't.
You know you want the Phantom Menace remake.
That I do. Oh boy. It's not as bad as Transformers, right? It's not like... Because they're going to keep making Transformers movies. And those deserve a special circle in hell, right? Oh, no. They're horrifying. But it's not that bad. Like, I was able to sit through the new Star Wars and didn't at any point want to stab myself in the face. It wasn't great. And the part of it that annoys me is that I step out of those movies going... I guess they're all right to just a sea of people going, oh my God!
So Damien, what you're saying then, what you're saying then is that Star Wars has the
almost famous effect. But it is a worldwide
By
thing.
The way, do you realize that we are doing a podcast with the Almost Famous crew?
On
you know
the,
that, right?
Yes,
because,
I am well
because
aware.
Because the fellow on the other side of the mic.
That is the only thing I know about. My only
disappointment in life is that I'm member number 2 of the club. Right? He beat me to it.
Put you one up on my mom. We were at my parents' place the other week, and Shane put on Almost Famous, and I was walking away, and Mom's like, I don't get it. What does he see about that movie? I'm like, Mom, that's my favorite movie ever. She's like, okay. I'm like, what just happened here? I feel like my mom just gave me shade.
Right. Your mother's like, I thought I raised 2 smart boys. What the hell happened? They look, at least they still look like adults. All right. and she moves on.
Yes, but I think we're talking about Handmaiden.
I think Douglas was telling us about Handmaiden, and somehow we got to Star Wars.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You go from Dickensian Korea to...
Dickensian. In a long, far ago.
To octopuses.
Far away.
Yeah, clearly.
Check off octopuses.
That's Damien's real problem with Star Wars, is that there's not enough octopuses in it.
Yeah, that's one of my problems with Star Wars.
Maybe, is that why you like James Bond so much? Because it actually does have enough octopuses?
Yes.
Is that...
And
20,000...
I saw that a mile under the sea. So, like the second you said James Bond, like, this is...
Yep.
Like,
that's too easy, Douglas. That's too easy. I didn't fall down laughing, but that's too easy.
It needs, like, a sign.
Yup.
So, Handmaiden. Let's try this one more time.
Right.
Ooh, all right, let me... sank myself back up. Park Chan-wook. Wookiees! That's how
right,
we got
that is
there.
How we got
and
there.
And are we going to get this?
There it is. Right. We walked it back. We got
it. Okay.
Right, so Stoker. So yeah, Stoker is still better than this.
So this movie is kind of... It slowly builds to what, you know, we want. You and I, Damien, want from it. But it's a great ride there. The one thing that I have to say about it, though, is so from day one when I watched it, people complained. Actually, Andrew mentioned it. It's the same sort of Blue is the Warmest Color complaint right. that, guys, this is essentially porn. Why are we watching people have sex for so long? Mm-hmm. Why does this need to be in the movie? That kind of complaint. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, come on, who cares? I like this movie, and mm-hmm. it
like
works well.
You like the ladies
well,
scissoring, right?
Right? But the second time I watched it, which I think was last night, I did become a lot more aware of the level of kind of just sexual naughtiness in this mm-hmm. in this movie. And I still need to watch it again to see where I land on that, but I felt like Ryan, where I was like, somebody judging me for watching this movie.
Here's what I'll say about that. Uh-huh. I think this world as a whole mm-hmm. needs to move further towards this type of movie. By that, I mean, we shouldn't be okay with blood and gore and then feel shitty mm-hmm. about a thing
yeah.
that should happen. Like, when we murder people, that is a thing that should not happen. But everybody's okay with that. You can murder as many people as you want mm-hmm. in as graphic a way as you want. And everybody comes out of the movie like, oh, yeah, that was dope. Right.
I think the only thing though where I felt where the movie was a little bit lacking for me and where I felt weird, as opposed to Blue is the Warmest Color, where everything is long. Like that movie just wants to tell a long story. So the confessions are long and the spaghetti scene is long and yeah, the sex is long too, but it's so that they can tell a long tale. The only thing that I thought was a little strange in Handmaiden is when we back up and we watch the same sex scene again. It's not like we're getting a new perspective. You know, we're not really seeing that sex scene from the Handmaiden's point of view. We're just getting more of it. And, you know, we're getting more of the girl worshiping the greatest that she's ever come face to face with, apparently. And, you know, that was a little strange. It wasn't so much that it was a lot of it, because then when they go on and it's more of them doing their thing, I was like, yeah, okay, sure, but why not? But to back up and watch the same sex scene again, that felt weird.
I mean, it was a pivotal moment in their relationship. That's where
yeah.
both of them fell.
I mean,
really
listen,
fell in love
if
with
you
each
think
other.
About it, right?
Well,
in
that's
Korean
what she
culture,
fell in love
shaving
with
down the teeth is mm-hmm. a very sensual act, right? Yes. No. Okay. Sorry.
Well, yeah. Okay. That is a scene I wouldn't mind seeing again because yeah. that was meant something different. Mm-hmm.
Did it mean something different? Think, man, you saw this.
Well,
a different
it
movie.
Was absolutely literal. It was all about the filing of the
oh,
teeth.
No. She was metaphorically uh-huh. removing the fangs from Lady Hideko's personality, uh-huh. and now they are able to. I don't know.
That's right.
I tried.
You almost got it.
You're right there.
Not bad. Yeah, like this puritanical view that we have of sex,
mm-hmm.
Where every time people see it on screen, there's the moment where you're like, am I supposed to?
Right. Listen, right. man. I'm just saying. When I watch the same dirty scene two times, it's not usually in the same sitting.
Right. But if you call it a dirty scene, you've already made up your mind. Right.
I don't mean dirty in a bad
you
way.
You watch the same action scenes, like John Wick shoots 1,000 people in that movie,
and we've seen it 10,000.
And we go, all right, yeah. But he shoots them all the same way. And no one says anything.
So we're watching Mad Max after this, right?
God,
okay.
Jesus. Don't do that. Damn it. I can't watch a movie in my house. Like, they just give me shit. Every time I'm watching that movie, people just come over like, again? Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Enjoy my movie. You don't have any more movies?
Oh, it sucks. Oh man! At the end of the day, though, this movie is awesome.
It's pretty good.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is. And you know, it's just the whole. And you spoke about seeing things from each person's perspective, but what I remember loving the most about the movie when I first watched it wasn't just the different perspectives, but was just how the movie changed, or how who you viewed as, let's say, good versus bad, or who you viewed as the person that was being taken versus who was doing the taking.
The token.
Exactly. Was, the you know, Neeson. Where, for, you know, you think to yourself, well, is it the handmaiden that mm-hmm. Is it, I think her name is Suki, that is...
Suki.
That is doing the manipulating, or is it Lady Hideko, or is it the Count, or, you know... depending on where you
it's
are
the
in this movie, and there
everybody.
You go. The octopus took everybody.
It's definitely the uncle.
Let's be serious. Could take eight at a time. That's why he's so good. Evolution at its highest. Oh shit! I just got that now.
Oh my word! Oh my word! Where do you find these people?
This is what the internet gave me. I went to the internet store.
Right.
I said, I need someone who talks about movies. Right. And they gave me this guy.
One movie, please. One movie person, please.
This is why I make notes, okay? This is why my show is structured.
We've shipped your auto. You'll be there Saturday at 7. Well.
Put my phone on airplane. You know, real all good.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right, so I don't think there's any way to one up that one. So, no. Ryan, you win. You just won the podcast.
Yep.
Score. So, is this movie Tump approved? Did I actually like come on for that?
Yeah, you did.
No, oh, I mean, wow. It can't. It's Tump approved. It can't be in the Pantheon though. Cause
yeah,
it's too new.
Oh, no. Fucking asshole.
Andrew Robinson, arbitrary man. I make rules cause fuck it.
You need rules, David.
Yep.
You need rules in your life.
That is true.
Or you're not going to survive.
Or it leads to just chaos. People put in movies in pantheons when they feel like it's ridiculous.
About this thing. Mm-hmm. This last week, I sat down and I watched.
I told you that in confidence.
Stop listing everyone. this week, I sat down and I watched the new Oliver Stone movie, Snowden.
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
Oh, all right. Let's do this.
And no, I don't really want to talk about how good or bad this movie is, because that's not
Cause
really...
it's bad. No, because it's bad. That's what you don't want to talk about.
But it made me think of something specific, right? Mm-hmm. Earlier this year, okay. I saw a Stephen Frears movie mm-hmm. from last year called The Program, which was the retelling of the story of Armstrong, right? Who everyone knows, doped and... did all the cycling, won right. everything, and then we found out...
Oh, that's right? Armstrong.
Yes, Lance Armstrong.
Yes, Lance yeah. Armstrong. And I hated that movie,
mm-hmm.
right? And I hated that movie for one specific reason, is that from the movie began to when the movie ended, the movie started with the agenda of this fucking guy, right? Mm-hmm. And no... I don't disagree with that right. agenda generally, but all when right. it comes to the movie
right.
and you're going from point A to point A being uh-huh. we don't know to point B being we definitely know. Like it feels really mm-hmm. really bad for a movie to just have that tone the whole way through, just being like this fucking guy, right?
Snowden. Do you think though the part of that is because we should have known? The whole time, like, the thing that always gets me about Armstrong and, okay, I'm a baseball fan and I don't know how many of you are, but my favorite baseball player growing up was Roger Clemens, who was
ooh,
also a dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. The night before his name was like circled as a doper. I knew that the report was coming. I'm like, he is totally going to get named. Nobody was talking about him getting named. Nobody like was bringing up steroids and Roger Clemens. But the night before he got named, I'm like, he is totally going to get named, and I don't know why the hell I didn't think of that before. I think that that's the thing, Andrew, is it starts out with this fucking guy because we always should have thought this fucking guy, and yet we didn't because it was just too good of a story.
That is entirely true, right? Because, I mean, to this day, people are still trying to put it on Bolt, right? Mm-hmm. And if it actually happens at any point where someone can say,
yeah,
right, the story will change to, right, that fucking, yeah, guy, right? Mm-hmm. We put him up on this pedestal, and he broke all these records, and he laughed doing it, right, the whole time.
Dance and pose. Moonwalking across the track and shit.
Yeah, you know, pointing at Canadians.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing backflips before he crossed the line. I knew it. Son of a bitch.
But anyways, getting back to what I was talking about, right? I started out with Snowden, right? And Snowden is another guy who was talked about when what he did happened, when he leaked all those documents. Right. And everyone was very divided. A lot of people, actually, I think most of the people talking about it had one very important issue to say, is that fucking guy, right? How dare he do this, right? Because even though he's exposing something which to the public is important about what the America is doing to their citizens, at the end of the day, everyone, and I think it's a very American sentiment, everyone said he's endangering the troops, right? And how dare he do that, knowing that even though, like, we can look at how he did it, and he definitely tried to make it less bad as to how it happened, right? And throughout the conversation of his story, it's always been going back and forth over the value of leaking those documents for the sake of everyone knowing what's happening versus the harm of what it does to operations going on immediately, right? This movie, however, it never had that question mark. It did what I wanted the program to do, which is it made you actually go through his process so that you could then decide where you fell on that debate, right? He was allowed, and I'll get to the propagandistic part of this movie shortly enough. But the movie allowed itself to bring forward its debate for Snowden as well as against him, where you had all of these people saying what he's doing. You watch Snowden go through all of these things. And now, I'm not going to tell you this is a great movie to begin with. It's not, right? It perfectly isn't. But I just like the idea of movies which allow you to make up your mind about the issue itself. There are movies that have this overbearing issue, like The Program and That Fucking Guy, right? Where everyone already knew what happened, right? We didn't start Snowden going, I wonder who this guy is, even though I'm sure there's someone out there who did that, and that's interesting. But I just found it, I was thinking about these movies, some historical, some political, where there is a public debate about the person, the issue, the topic beyond the movie, but yet you sit down for 2 hours to watch this movie, and maybe you've already made up your mind, but one of the things that annoys me the most is when the movie's made up its mind, right? And you still have to sit, well, you don't have to, but you're sitting there for the 2 hours going like, give me more than an agenda, right? And I know Douglas has an issue with these type of movies. Yes, you, sir, like, reaching back, right? Because you'll watch every slavery movie out there trying to figure out what's going on with that thing, right?
Yeah.
That thing. Well, what's the status of the slavery debate right now, Douglas?
this still happening?
I don't know. I keep watching them. You know,
did they renew it for another season?
He got elected, so yeah.
That's pretty good.
Douglas, you ran when this movie pressed play.
Good job.
knowing you didn't want to have to deal with this sort of a problem, right? Where do you lie with movies that come to you with an agenda versus you wanting to discuss the topic itself?
I mean, it's a weird situation. So, yeah, in principle, if a movie has an agenda, that's a negative and you don't really necessarily want to have that. But the truth is, if a movie has your agenda,
Absolutely.
Then everybody is going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch this movie. And I know I find myself, I'm sure you guys do as well, gravitating to those movies sometimes. So, of course, I have other specific problems why, in particular, that movie I didn't want to watch, or even some movies like that. Because, for example, this movie, I've already decided Oliver Stone is more bad than good. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is all right, but...
It's also more bad than
good. Yeah.
The ratio is shifting very quickly.
It really is. But not even just that. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I know what he's good in. He's good in airy-fairy stuff. Not, you know, this serious foolishness.
Fodder.
Yeah.
Clearly you've never seen Inception, but okay.
Yeah, Inception's serious?
Where?
There's explosions in that movie.
There's levels, man. There's layers. Never, layers of consciousness.
Never be afraid to dream bigger.
You're asleep and then asleep.
Yeah, and
who among us is really not asleep?
And by the way, I love that movie. And
you can't not.
Exactly. And
I'll fight anyone.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is great in that movie. Up. What? Oh no! Hold on. I need to check. Okay. Yeah, I'm awake.
Did you really spin a thing on this table? Right?
Yes, I did.
They spinning.
What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Madness.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The one thing that I would kind of watch this movie for is to see him make the Snowden accent, the Snowden voice, because that looks special. But just generally, movies like this where, as you say, Andrew, they tend to have an agenda. They kind of tend to have the same script, the same... movement. It is about a real person with a real life who apparently did something great or horrible or whatever it is. I really try to avoid those. I don't, unless there is some big reason, some big name, something that has to pull me towards it. And I just, it pulls on the wrong strings, Andrew. You know I can't do these things.
Where I usually come down on a movie like that is whatever it's trying to sell me, and no matter how it aligns with my own worldview, is not so much what it's trying to sell me as how it's trying to sell it to me. So I'm going to use the example of American Sniper, okay? So I consider myself liberal. And you name the country, I'm on the left side. And I don't think that my being a liberal and my having a liberal worldview should preclude anybody who considers himself conservative and on the right from having good movies. So if you want to take a very, very rah-rah hero or a very, very conservative action or something like that and you know, raise it up on a pedestal and use it as a beacon, that shouldn't my problem is that shouldn't preclude good filmmaking. And for some reason, it often does. So when I watched American Sniper, my problem with American Sniper wasn't that it took a very, very damaged person and turned him into an icon. It was that it was technically bad. It was that it was poorly written and poorly edited and poorly shot and oh no. Yeah. No. And that was, and then they just ran out of money, so they decided to end it. That's always my problem.
Didn't he die? Wait a second. That is, you're an awful person, Juan. But he died. After all of that, you wanted to see where he died. You wanted the rest of that movie.
The rest of the script followed him to heaven, where he got the 34 virgins. Right. And I mean, come on.
Where Osama greeted him. Sup, son.
That story was either already over or not yet over at the point it ended. That screen cut to black, and I swear they lost a reel.
What else did you want them to show? Like, the guy turned up, and then he killed him.
some sort of like, you know, give me like ease me out of that. No, don't, you know, like
I get where
me a little bit.
I get where, you know, people said that it's propaganda. I get that, right? And the movie 100% is. Mm-hmm. Right?
As are a lot of movies like that, right? Including Snowden, I'm sure. But,
yeah, it was already over before he walked into the kitchen. That's the thing. And then they decided to add on more shit. And then that's the thing. The more shit they decided to add on actually needed more shit. But they decided not to show me that. So, you know, I was left.
Look,
anyway,
look,
but that's,
they got
that,
it right
that's
with
the
Hurt Locker. They just mm-hmm. show you him in the supermarket and done.
No, that movie ends perfectly. Screwed up. I will not hear any ill talk of that movie. And that's a movie that's rather conservative in its view, right? So that's my thing is I'll listen to your agenda if you want to sell it to me, because ultimately everybody has one. It's just more often than not it aligns with our own. Just make sure you tell it to me in an interesting way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I mean, not about American Sniper, but I agree with what Ryan said.
I was taking a flight to San Francisco, and like half the plane was watching that movie. I wanted to stand up in the back of the plane and say, like, people, can't you see what's happening? Nobody wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
The air marshal just shot me a look, and I said, okay.
Yeah. Sit down.
Yeah.
Don't do shit on planes. It's not safe.
Nope.
Smack you in the face.
Certainly not on the way there. Maybe on the way home.
So, movies where we align with whatever the agenda is, it is usually easier to watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we saw The Act of Killing, I'm sure the people who live there that are on the side of let's murder these people, if they were to see the movie, they would go, they would be like what you feel with the Armstrong movie, where you're like,
no,
listen.
They'd probably like The Act of Killing.
they'd probably look at it and say, whoa, look at those movies. Those movies are awesome.
Your
that
agenda
they made.
Is,
it has
we're
a dancing
all bad
fish.
People.
Of course.
We're all bad people. But we did what we had to do. They were religious extremists, and they were going to
Communist.
Ruin my country. So I had to murder.
Right? The quickest way to get what you want is to
what
eliminate
was the
problem.
Was it Sound of Silence?
Sound
or
Look of
like
Silence.
Look of Silence, yeah. That one they might not like so much.
Yeah, no one. Yeah. But, like, the problem you had with the Armstrong movie is that you wanted more context to why he became this lunatic. Not just, this man is the worst man, and here's what he did. That is not the movie you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But that is the movie that they shot. But there are a lot of movies and documentaries that you don't see because you're not the target audience. I saw a documentary about why global warming is not a thing. Right? You're already laughing. That's not okay. You don't... I was totally like, I wouldn't watch that for all the money in the world.
No, actually, I would watch that. I would watch it. It would hurt my brain, but I'd watch it.
No, I'd watch it because clearly that is a comedy that you're talking about.
It's
sir.
Like that Australian documentary we want to watch. About
you mean the one with the ladies that cook?
Yeah.
That documentary? Because that documentary
no,
is great.
No, not that one. Oh. No, the one where they're the men have been outnumbered.
Right.
And they can't congregate anymore.
Yes.
The one we want to watch, right. We haven't seen yet.
Oh, I hear that movie's horrible.
I don't
assume
it is.
I don't care.
But yeah. Just that concept alone is enough to get me in the door.
But the thing is, like, the movies that you'd prefer is where it's on a topic that you don't have all of the information about. And so you can sit there and they can give you, like, context to
definitely, definitely. Because what I was going to say about movies and aligning with your agenda, one of the movies that I do actually love, and thanks to Douglas, I might love a little less, because I watched it with him eventually, and he folded his arms, and I now have to consider him. I actually wrote something about this when it happened. It's Cinelume's Network, right?
Yeah, arms
you
were...
like that movie?
Wait, Ryan, do you not like that movie?
I love that movie. Who folded his arms?
Oh, Douglas. Douglas folded his arms.
Because that movie is horrendous.
Right? And
You know what? Watch it again now, man. It is, that movie is strangely relevant again.
Yeah, but here lies the thing. And I'm not disagreeing with Douglas in this sense. Because watching that movie with Douglas gave me a new perspective on it. Where that movie starts...
I don't believe that. Nope.
That movie starts and ends all with media is fucked up. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Right? And it hammers that really hard. Right? To the point where if you go into that movie agreeing with that sentiment mm-hmm. already, and you walk out with just that sentiment, then the movie hasn't really added anything to you. Sure, it had some great scenes and some great monologues mm-hmm. and...
Did it, though?
And all sorts of stuff in there that I really love. But I'm not completely disagreeing with Douglas, but that movie's awesome. but it definitely, I understand his perspective on it, right? And it's very much the same thing that I'm bringing to this now, the program. Mm-hmm. And I guess Snowden is like what I consider the better version of it, where definitely there is some agenda in there. And I'm curious thinking about it as to whether the agenda is more aligned with mine, which is just... let's understand this context and make a decision as opposed to going straight to he should go to hell because he did this. Yeah. Right?
Alright. Here's a easier way to think about this. Every year there are movies that come out of, like, straight out of the churches. Right? It's like
the ones I don't watch. Right.
Like the War Room.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. The War Room. Like the War Room. Oh. And every time we see them we go, I don't know who in God's name is.
No, actually, it's only people in God's name that watch them.
God's name, yeah.
But we don't watch them.
Wait, you're talking about God's Not Dead?
Yeah, all of those movies. Our Miracle yeah. Son, or whatever the hell they call these movies.
They made a part two.
We see them and we go, who keeps making these movies? Because you're not going to watch any of them. Mm-hmm. Because even, you won't even watch them to be surprised by what is in the movie. You see 2 minutes of the movie and you're already like, I couldn't be that bored. No, like, your version of hell is to be sat down watching those movies just for eternity. And if you were to watch them, you'd be annoyed because none of the things they say are the things you want to hear.
No, I'd take that as long as it's a well-made film, and they're not.
No, but...
They can't pay an editor, you know, so...
Right.
They pay him just, the Holy Spirit.
See, we're making yeah. jokes already, yeah, yeah. despite you know, never they, having they get, seen any other get, movies.
Yeah, they get Sally, who sings alto in the choir, who also has Pro Tools.
Right.
Yeah, this, she's the mixer. Yeah,
this is the type of discourse we're having on movies we've never seen, because we don't want yes. to see them. Right?
I feel like if there was quality to them, I would have seen them by now. There's a reason why I haven't.
That is the worst logic I've heard in a long time.
Nope. Listen, there are lots of movies.
Things, so if I don't watch it, can't be good.
I haven't even heard about
that. Yeah, that's flawless
nobody
logic.
I know.
Right.
Nobody I know has ever, and I know a lot of people, nobody has ever pointed to me and said, you should watch this.
Cool.
Nope.
Wait, hold on. Didn't Corey write a really great piece about God Isn't Dead? I remember he did this great, I've never watched it, but I remember reading that article, and I thought that was a nice article, right? He did, where he was like, me as a, uh-huh. as this religious background,
right.
talking about this movie. It was a really interesting. Yeah. I'm going to find that link and put it in the notes right, so people can read
do it.
And you're still not going to watch a movie.
Still not
going
right. to watch
a movie. No word. Right. What happened to you is you fell into a movie that was on the side that you don't really agree with the Lance Armstrong movie. And then with this, the Snowden movie, you preferred the side, the agenda they took. It was just that the movie behind it wasn't good enough.
My finger's still fucked up.
Your first problem was that you watch an Oliver Stone movie yeah. and it's not 1998 anymore.
But, alright, now back to American Sniper. No, listen.
God, do we have
I'm
to?
I'm not an American, I'm not a sniper.
Are you sure?
Not in real life. The sniper.
Only in XCOM.
Right, in XCOM, I'm definitely. I'm on Overwatch at all
Have
times.
Have I died yet?
No, no one. Like, I'm so good at that game now, no one dies.
Did I make it to that stage where no one dies? Or did I die before?
Like, in the early attempts, everyone died. I died, everybody I know died. It was just random people coming in and surviving. But now I can name anybody from the start of the game because nothing's going to happen. The reason I enjoyed American Sniper. Now, you said he was a broken man. I didn't know that. And the movie doesn't show that to you. Right? The movie doesn't make it seem like he's a broken man. It's just a guy that made a decision on 9/11 to join the army. Because in his view, he needed to help protect America against external threats. Which is a noble thing. But that is also part of the propaganda. And I get that. But the rest of the movie is just him in different scenarios. And then the movie ends. So I don't understand where all the hatred comes from. Like, you're like, it's poorly shot, it's poorly paced, it's badly directed. It sounds like I don't understand all of those things. I get that it is propaganda. That part I understand. But the movie that was made seemed perfectly fine to me. Like, I still don't understand why you people hate this movie so
much. Did you miss the part where he was holding a rubber baby and didn't notice? And it wasn't like, this wasn't even like Clint Eastwood trying to be all Louis Benuel and switching out shit. And no. Yeah. He was actually holding a doll.
Okay.
And we were.
Alright, fine. Yes, he held a doll. Right.
Okay.
They spent all the budget on army shit. They're like, he needs to hold a baby. And they're like,
and they thought,
and handed it to him.
Just on a base level, okay? They thought, okay, we've got this shot that involves a baby.
Right.
So let's go hire a baby. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mr. Director Guy, babies tend to be a little temperamental. Maybe we should hire a backup baby. No, we don't. And I'm not making this up. This is actually how this went down. No, we only need the one baby. And sure enough, that one baby did not want to cooperate. So what did Mr. Director Guy do? Switch out that baby, put in a doll. Don't even hide the doll. Don't even hide the fact that it's a toy that he's holding. And hope that nobody notices.
All right.
Like, here lies the thing, Ryan. And I'm not saying that isn't a bad move as a filmmaker.
Yeah, no, I get
or
that.
Or as like a professional. That is, yeah, right.
That have continuity. That's a capital T terrible move.
Right. But I think we've talked about this before. I think that's like the icing on the cake of your complaints.
Yeah.
Right? You hate the movie before you get to that point.
Right. No, I didn't. No. I went into that movie and I wanted to enjoy it. That was like I've been wrestling with Clint Eastwood for a while, and that was the basically tipping me over the edge finally of this point. Man has lost it.
Korea, I have someone on my side.
You guys
side
really are the same person.
Of Clint Eastwood is right? Inspired.
Am I in Twilight Zone or something?
Ryan, you're officially invited to all episodes from now on. I need more people on
that's
my
all
side.
It is? Backup? Is that
To be fair, I do also hate this movie. Don't ask me why, I cannot remember, because with all movies I hate, I have blacked the shit out of this movie. Mm-hmm. So I don't even remember what happens, but yeah, this movie sucks.
So that movie was redacted.
Like most military stories.
He's got an opposite sniper that we never learn a damn thing about.
Cool.
It's not about him. But it should be.
No! The movie's about him. No one cares about his friend. Sniper 2, who cares? I don't care.
He's consumed by it for as much as he talks about him. I feel like I should know something about him. Don't just show me a photo that says he was in the Olympics and expect me to glean.
Exactly, and Damien, think about it.
All right.
For the movies to do work, what the hell?
Holy shit, I forgot about the Olympics.
Yeah. And if you think about it, Damien, how else are you going to prime for American Sniper Part 2? You have to put something in about Sniper Jr. so that he can be the head of the second movie.
Is it that
where like his son goes back and reaps vengeance like all Kill Bill style?
Yeah, exactly. You know, he said
we're
to
getting
him,
Kill Bill 3, you watch.
What's that?
He said we're gonna get Kill Bill 3, you watch.
Exactly. You know, essentially they said to him, listen, if my name and address is this, mm-hmm. if at any time you have a problem, just come to me. And yeah, that's what happens.
No, that movie, there's too many times where they're playing the ominous drums every time the insurgents are nearby. The kill shots are these, like, glory slow-mo bullets cutting through the air. It's, you know, that was shot by somebody who'd played Call of Duty too many times, not a guy who talks to an empty chair. I brought it back. That's right.
Well done.
Yeah, that's me talking about Snowden. Bringing up political movies and agendas and all of these wonderful warm topics that keep us.
I started watching Black Mirror.
The new season?
Yeah. I burned through a lot of the old shit that I wanted to catch up on. And I'm doing Black Mirror first because it's quick. And I have to catch up with Walking Dead. Then I can start Westworld. Because I watched two episodes of last season of Walking Dead. And then this new season started, and I realized I didn't watch any. I didn't finish last season.
I got to this season. I actually don't know if I want to keep going.
Is this Walking Dead we're talking about?
It's weird. You know, Walking Dead came back, and you had this dick who's basically going to take over and starts killing people arbitrarily. And then an election happens, and we get 2 weeks later, and the same dick shows up and decides he wants to take what he wants to take because he can. And I'm thinking, this isn't fun anymore.
Fair point.
So, yeah. I actually really like that guy, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, from this show. So, I'm super in. But is it weird?
Super charismatic asshole.
Exactly. Right? Is it weird, though, that I watch that character, and every time, and I haven't said this to you, Andrew, every time I see him, every time he talks, every time he moves, I'm like, oh, that's Matt Brown.
I'm gonna tell him that. I tend to walk past him on the way to work. I'm gonna tell him that. Okay.
That's good.
But
that's,
yeah. Every time I see it, I'm like, that's him.
I can imagine Matt Brown doing that costume.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, you were done.
So
Black Mirror, yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine.
This is what this podcast is for. We talk about something, we take and the conversation away, and we run far.
And we veer off into nothingness. And you're like, what do we do on this podcast again? The first episode is the one with the ratings. The
social media
thing. Right, the social media thing. Mm-hmm. And the dystopian nightmare that the world would turn into if people were forced to play nice with others so that you could rate all of their stuff. And
do you view this as a dystopia or as real life? Because this is real life to me, as far as I'm concerned.
Fine. And if you don't have enough money, if you don't have enough ratings, you can't get into places.
You don't get nice things.
Right. Yes. And then I was watching it, and the entire time I was just like, no, this is how life works. No,
exactly.
It's just not clearly defined.
It is even more clearly defined. If you have enough money, there's things you can do and shit you can get and places you can go, where if you cannot afford it, you simply cannot go. That is how it works now.
the only difference is it's not public knowledge. So, like, I mean, sure, you can look at someone and be like, he probably has more. I mean, other than when I get your bank account and I can actually look at the number, right? But, like, generally, I can't just look at you and be like, you're in an Arsenal shirt. You're a dirty person. You can't get in my store.
Right.
Sure, there are times when something close to that might happen.
I understand.
Yeah. You've watched Pretty Woman.
Right. Yeah. Right. But what you're saying, like, what the show did is bring it down to a level where it's everyone, like everyone can see it. But what happens in the world now is that if you have enough money, if I want to have a destination wedding, how many of my friends can I invite? Zero of them. None of you are flying anywhere. If I want to have it on the other side of the world because I'm marrying someone way richer than I am, and you guys are, you guys don't get to come. That's the wrap. You can't come.
If I buy a Ferrari, I will borrow all the money in the world just so that I can appear and do the speech.
If I buy a Ferrari and start Jamaica's first Ferrari club, all of the people that are there in my club are now exclusive to my club because of money, not because of anything else. And we do it with celebrities. Why do you think people worship celebrities the way they worship celebrities? A big part of it is because they're rich and they can buy shit that us minions can't buy. That is the appeal of the celebrity lifestyle. It's not just having the talent. Having the talent is secondary. It is all of the money and the fame that comes with the celebrity that people really envy. Right? So that is the world today. When Kanye West has a party, you don't go. Why?
Because I live in Jamaica.
Yeah. Also, you don't know any of his friends. Turns out, no one knows a lot of his friends. Because you
Taylor
have to...
Swift?
Right. Right. Call Taylor Swift now.
Yeah, cool. So,
Taylor, can I get in? And Taylor Swift will go, how much money does that guy have? Is he like a mogul in Jamaica? Is he the NCB guy? And then someone offer will check and go, no, he's not. And then you won't. You can't come. That is the end of it.
Well, then they're not my friend either.
Congratulations. Yeah, but that's how, like, that first episode, that's how the world works. No, just with money. And it's not as close. Because
mm-hmm.
at 4.2, well, that's what we should do. We should start ranking people with money, how they're right. It's like Bill Gates and so Carlos Slim.
One.
Right, Bill Gates and Carlos Slim is like a 5. I'm like a 0.5.
Oh, so I'm 0.1.
And then we'll move up and down. And then you try to talk and be friends with people who are like 4s. And see what happens. Try talking to Beyonce.
About Mad Max.
Say Beyonce is a 4. Try talking to her. Can't.
So, Damien, are you watching Westworld as well?
I'll watch the first episode and I'm waiting for the season to finish. Then I'm going to
You're one of those. God damn it. Come on.
Come on, what?
Go week to week like the rest of us, please.
No,
come on.
I don't want to be. That's pretty good.
You don't like suspense?
No, I don't like waiting. I'm waiting once. I wait for all of it to end, and then I don't have to wait anymore. I can just watch the show. Plus, the second season of True Detective proved that my way is better, because I enjoyed that, while everybody else hated it 3 episodes in. As they should have. And then didn't give 2 shits about what happened for the rest of the season. Everyone's like, I don't care. I don't want to watch any more of this.
Yeah. You know, I still haven't rewatched that.
No,
right,
and you, right, because you
I
hate
can't.
It.
Yeah.
And you're inside.
Yeah.
You hate it. Yeah.
I got, you know what? I've got that beat. I watched, what was it? It was 8 episodes long, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something. No.
Yeah.
Was it that 6 long?
I watched 7 episodes.
Yeah, 6 or 7 episodes.
Yeah. If it was 8 episodes long, I watched 7. I have no idea how that show
exactly.
ends.
Cause you're,
it could be a musical number. I don't know.
You're just like, I don't care anymore. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah.
I kind of care. I just, I've never...
In the world.
I'm just really lazy.
I hate this show. I hate myself for watching this show.
Yeah. I remember it got to the final episode and I didn't realize it was the final episode until right before I was going to watch it. And I remember thinking to myself, is there anything to wrap up? How does this work?
Yeah, what happened is the first episode. Episode 2 of Dark Mirror is the one with the...
Black Mirror.
Is the one with the VR...
With the video game.
Madness. Right? And...
Oh, is it?
That's the Dan Trachtenberg episode.
Yeah. The second I saw that it was video game shenanigans, I went, this is the Dan Trachtenberg one. because you guys said that he made one. It was good. But it... Like, I've seen the first 3 episodes and none of them have been... as good as my favorite episodes in the first 2 seasons.
Which one's your favorite?
It's the one with the eye. No, clearly the very first episode, obviously. the one with the doll. That was
the
surrogate.
Donald Gleason.
And then the one where with the eye thing, where they were rewinding.
Oh yeah, that one was good.
Right,
yeah.
Those are my 3. And none of these.
Really? Not even the prison one? I love the zoo one. The zoo prison one where the girl has to relive
No,
the,
I know.
Yeah.
But not so much. Like,
what?
It's okay. Like, that one feels like these new episodes.
I love that one.
But it's fine. I'm glad that it's back. They're pretty good so far.
Yeah, I hope that they keep going. I don't know what their plans are with that.
That show seems expensive.
Well, it can't be as expensive as Crown, which costs something like $3 million an episode, and Netflix banged out anyway.
All right, cool. But yeah, it's been fine. It's been fine so far. I'm glad I saw it.
I look forward to hear what you think of the next one, Juniper.
Yeah, that's the one. Like,
that one's nice.
I saw that one was coming up, and that's why I stopped, because it was late and I wanted to get some sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to finish that. But it's fine. Almost Human. None of you have seen
nope.
it.
Is that a TV show?
The TV show. Yeah, Judge Dredd show. You guys should watch it. It's fun.
I remember that was on, what, like 3-4 years ago? Something like that? Yeah. I never actually watched it. Is it good?
It's just a fun show. Like, Judge Dredd is Judge Dredd in there. Like, Carl Urban was born to play a detective.
No, he's a doctor.
No.
I like that part of Star Trek. Yeah. Where he goes, I'm a doctor,
I'm a
man.
Doctor, damn it.
Yeah, that is good.
No, you're not, Carl.
But
you need a six shooter. You need to walk around enforcing the law.
I think there's a gorilla in the room that we really need to talk about. Okay.
That's racist, first of all.
Trump got elected. Racism's okay now.
Say yes to racism.
Oh wow. Okay. So Damian.
Yes.
I doubt you haven't watched this.
Okay.
So myself and Andrew came home last night,
mm-hmm.
and we watched a spectacle. You may know that there used to be a show on television called Top Gear.
Yes.
They pretend like there is still one on television, but this
right, there was one last season, and everyone went, not nope. my Top Gear.
Right?
Hashtag, not my president. Hashtag, not my Top Gear. Matt LeBlanc was on it, and everyone, ha ha!
And you know what's funny? Is Matt LeBlanc is not the worst thing about that show.
Yeah, but everyone thought it was going to be.
I know, right?
And everyone was wrong. But they were also simultaneously right, because he's bad on that show.
You know what,
he's just not the worst.
If he is bad, it just goes to show how bad Captain America is, because he's bad, right? We watched a thing that goes by the name of the Grand Tour.
Right.
Sorry, Top Gear.
Top Gear, sorry.
Right.
GT or TG turned backwards.
Right.
As Andrew pointed out, I didn't even realize that.
That was obvious to me, as I am. You sons of bitches.
Oh, it was. Have you watched this episode?
I watch Top Gear on Sundays, so no.
Okay, all right,
it came out, I'm like, you guys are hilarious that you think I'm going to watch this on like a Friday. Top Gear is a Sunday time dinner TV show, and that is when I will watch it.
Can't you binge watch that?
No.
It's
why not?
Because there's no story being told. It's about purdy cars
and assholes being assholes.
And dicks be dicks. Yep.
Speaking of which, Ryan, did you watch a show
Speaking
before
dicks
and
being
have
dicks,
you
Ryan? Whoa. Dicks being dicks, Ryan. There. Holy crap,
you
man.
We meant
I'm looking around on Twitter, I'm watching my hockey game. What the? Yes, how can I help you?
Yes, Saran. Anyway, back to our conversation. Do you have a relationship with Top Gear? Have you watched it? Do you watch it? Are you watching this new Amazon show? What's up?
Not a single episode. Oh. There is. This is going to sound terrible to say out loud, but considering I am married to a woman who makes our living, basically, from reality television, there is not a single show I watch.
Okay. Well, I have to tell you, that rule for reality television on a whole in general is one to keep. Reality TV is horrible.
Well, it's no, hold on. It's not. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't really have anything against it, because there are some cool shows. And you know, as somebody who cooks a lot, like, a lot of the food shows are kind of cool. When I go to my parents' place, my dad likes to watch American Pickers, and there's some stuff in that that's kind of neat. I think where it gets strange to me is not even so much, like, I do like that there are television shows, well-made television shows, actually, about any random interest that you can think of, right? And lots that you can't, that then become an interest. I'm cool with all that. The only thing that gets me is when the personalities of the show then become a pseudo celebrity. Like what Damian was saying about, you know, you want them because they're rich and because you think that they go places and they do things. When I'm walking down the streets of Toronto and I see a guy walking opposite me wearing a t-shirt that has Chumlee in the Barack Obama hope pose. Something has gone very wrong with the universe.
Yeah.
That's possibly, you know, true. Especially because
that's very true.
I don't know who Chumley is.
Oh, okay. He's one of the guys on Pawn Stars.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
see,
I'm looking
now,
at a picture of him. No, I had to Google it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing is that I actually have another. I've got a little bit of hope now for the universe that I just said the word Chumley to three people and they did not know who he was. Yeah. I feel good now. You can call me a dick anytime you want. but I guess that's my thing with reality television. It's not the actual shows that are made or that people watch them, because some of them are very cool. It's what we then elevate the hosts into, because a lot of time they're not even experts in what they happen to do. They're just, they give good face, so they're on the show.
Yeah, but I mean, you could extend that argument to, let's say, actors who, I mean, the celebrity behind actors, the celebrity what's the word that I'm looking for, environment or whatever, is the same, where you have people who you could argue don't have a certain degree of skill in their job that are just huge celebrities. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, no, I know where you're going. All right, cool. What's he talking about? I understand what he's
talking
about.
I'm not a big... I don't have a big issue with reality stars becoming stars. I just don't like a lot of reality television. I think it's kind of dumb. As you said, some of the cooking stuff... I can watch.
Especially to Australian women.
Yes. Oh my god.
Catering food. That's
first of all, that's a comedy show.
But it is a comedy show. And that is not reality.
I gotta believe reality. I don't think there are, but if there was a reality show based around tech that you would probably tune in. It's just that the reality shows that happen to be on aren't tapping into your interests.
No, absolutely. And you're right. So when I was younger, I used to watch what was originally ZDTV that changed into G4 and Tech TV and whatever. And we used to watch things like Attack of the Show and Screensavers and whatnot. But yeah, you're right. It's all about the interest. And the funny thing about Top Gear and Grand Tour, I know Damon is a little bit different because he genuinely has an interest in the source material.
He has
an interest in the cars. Of course, if you see a very nice looking car, I will spend some time and salivate over it.
The
but
car
it's not
is red.
Exactly. But I couldn't care less. What I do love about this show is, as these guys say, it's dicks being dicks.
Ryan.
they understand.
You've been reading my blog again.
They understand that that three quarters of the reason why people watch a show is not the source material, but the entertainment of it all, the engagement of it all.
And it's what they forgot with the new season.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Top Gear.
Oh yeah.
They're and like, people are here for the cars and the celebrities. No, no.
Yep. And what's a little bit sad is that clearly what I watch and imagine to be a farce, which is dicks being dicks, is not so much of a farce, particularly with this Clarkson fellow, apparently. So, you know, that's a little sad, but... It's so good. They're so good to
but
watch.
But they
together.
Made it clear, Douglas. He's the only one to have not been fired
not
at
been
all.
Officially fired from anywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The rest of them got fired. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, from other things. None of them got fired from BBC.
Yeah.
They all let their contracts expire. Right. But
they chose to not work.
Exactly.
For the
BBC chose for Clarkson, but the rest of them chose not to go forward.
Listen, we don't want this to be a scandal. But your shit is done.
Yeah. And I mean, I really would love to talk about this episode a little bit more, but I guess you guys haven't seen it.
Right. Monday when we do the other podcast.
Damon.
Then we can talk about two, because we'll have skipped the first one. We'll talk about the second.
Damon, I was in stitches.
They're monsters.
And listen, so usually that show is laugh out loud funny. Mm-hmm. This is at least 10 steps ahead of any other Top Gear episode you have ever seen.
Because they don't have the BBC telling them that they can't do things.
Yeah.
And Amazon wrote them a check and went, make it funny, son.
And it's clear. Two things are clear. Amazon's check is big. Right? That's the first
Jeff
thing.
Jeff Bezos is buying rockets. Yeah. I think he can afford it.
The second thing was, that they have no qualms making fun of what happened to themselves. So
why would
it's
you?
Oh, it's,
they don't seem like the type.
It's great.
BBC was just going to have to make do with
I find it interesting all the time that we see all of these quote unquote scandals happening with all of these celebrities and people going like, no, I'll never consume their media again, right? You can talk about the Polanskis, you can talk about the you can talk about the R. Kellys. You can talk about all of these kind of
the Michael
kind
Jacksons, of the Elton Johns,
right? Where people throw up their arms and people. I actually found it like I don't want to be light as to what the real issue is with all of these scandals, but the most recent big thing that I remember hearing about Nate Parker for Birth of a Nation, where I hear people going on like, I don't have to give a rapist money. Yeah. And look, I'm not disagreeing with that statement out loud. Mm. However, I do think...
But you are!
But
what about Jacquier?
But I do think, like, in my mind, I've separated the film from the guy. Right?
Wait a second.
That
sounds surprisingly like what I've been saying these years.
No, there are times where it needs to come in when it comes to actually looking at what the movie is. Mm-hmm. Right? But... first of all, you believing that you going to that movie is giving him direct money, kind of not, right? That money's gone, right? He's already gotten his money, right? Sure.
Yeah, but it gives him the potential.
It's a vote of support.
And exactly. Yeah. Right. But also, well, I don't even know if I want to go down this route because I don't know enough about the story.
The Nate Parker story?
Yeah.
I do. I'll go down this road. I know the story well.
What I do know about the story is that, well, I don't know. Yeah. Ryan, tell me about the story because I almost don't even want to say what I think.
Okay, so...
With your limited knowledge. Yeah. Because you've already made the limited knowledge decision.
Yeah.
Let's say, like... We should preclude all of this by saying that by most accounts, and here's the dumb thing. This movie has been sitting in my apartment for a week now, and I still haven't touched it. Mm-hmm. But now I'm curious because now I get to see it for free.
It's not that good.
That's what we need to start all of this with. Is at the end of the day, it's not a good movie. So most of the rest of it really doesn't matter because it's not about whether or not we're supporting something that's well made based on our own politics. We just get that, but we get to play that card of I'm not supporting it, and oh, by the way, it's not good. What bothers me about this is that it's not just where you can say, I deplore the artist, but man, that art is really good. And especially in the case of Polanski, they often separate themselves out. Woody Allen's stories are always about Woody Allen in some way, shape, or form, so you can lump him in too. With Birth of a Nation, the thing that bothers me, it is very, very much Nate Parker. Like, it's he produced it, he directed it, he stars in it, he is the face of the movie. The poster is literally his face. Like, this is not just supporting a film and a story so much as it is supporting this one artist. It gets even worse when you consider that the guy he co-wrote the movie with was the guy he was also, like, who was the third man in on the assault charge. So you really, like, if you give this movie a vote of confidence, you really are giving the one artist who basically did everything short of catering it, you're giving him a vote of confidence. It's kind of quieted down now because the film didn't make a whole lot of money, but it may very well come up again if it happens to get awards consideration, because then it will become, are you awarding this film without awarding this man, because you can't. You can't do one without the other, because he wasn't just a hired gun brought on by a whole bunch of other producers and directors. If it was just the actor, you could get away with it. But because you're supporting a movie where the one person in question happens to be the actor, the writer, the director, and the producer, you can't support the project without also supporting him.
Okay, so I agree with all that. But what I know about the story... My very limited knowledge of this story.
I spoke about it on The Economist.
Well, I don't listen to The Economist. I don't have time for podcasts, okay?
It's a... First of all, it's a...
I was going to say, that's print. Yeah.
This is a magazine.
You remember that, don't right. you?
What? No.
I listen to it in audio form because I'm lazy.
it's like the internet without a plug.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's on paper.
But my limited knowledge about this is that there was a case when he was in college and he was acquitted.
Yep. Accurate so far.
All right. And that's pretty much that story from there. Mm-hmm. Then she killed herself at some stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then now everything's coming back up. That's all I really know.
Yeah.
Okay, and here's where we went wrong. Okay. Is that when the movie first dropped back at Sundance, nobody seemed to remember this.
Right.
Like, it's not like it was a secret, but nobody really had remembered that this was the same guy. Uh-huh. It came to light again in August. Somebody said, "Hey, does anybody remember this about this man?" And every question that has been lobbed his way, he has shown no guilt, no like nothing about it aside from just wanting to leave it in the past and move on. He's shown no remorse is the word I'm looking for. No remorse that he was a part of it, like that it's something that affected him, that he carried with. He had a shot at a do-over, and he ducked it. He probably did the absolute worst thing he could do, which was basically say next question. And that's what's turned everybody on him, is that it was never okay, but it's obviously really not okay now, and he doesn't want to own it. So because he doesn't want to own it and he just wants to leave the past in the past, everybody has basically rallied and said, nope, sorry. The past is now very much your present again. And until you decide to own it, we can't support you.
Let's attack this innocent man. He didn't go to prison. No, that's how the laws work.
That's the thing that's about how I kind of see this situation.
Yeah. Hold on. This is how the law worked back in 1999 when Nate Turner was in college. Ooh. And things like the burden of proof has changed. What we know has changed. Everything she explains if this were to go to trial now, would probably come out very different. Might come out very differently. Right. It still unfortunately doesn't all the time. But it's just, everybody else in the world seems to have gained perspective, except for Nate.
My issue with people doing these things is that...
And it's a bad movie.
Cool, right.
Yeah, no, it is.
Right, so if the movie sucks, movie sucks, and that is fine.
Yeah.
My issue is that we all are hypocrites. We pick and choose morality. There's no hard and fast rule. Whenever it suits us, that is when we are rara morality and whatever. But we let a lot of shit slide a lot of the time, or turn a blind eye or pretend that it doesn't happen when it's shit that we want. Douglas, HTC makes their phones at Foxconn. Foxconn employs 1.5 million people, and they are the shittiest employers in the world. Mm-hmm. You knew that when you bought the phone.
Actually, I didn't know that, but yeah.
Cool. Uh-huh. Now you know. Are you going to still buy phones built at Foxconn? Yes, you are, because you want more phones.
Well, actually, if you buy an iPhone, you buy phones built by Foxconn.
Yes. In fact, if you buy almost any phone, you bought a phone built at Foxconn. The precious minerals that goes into making our phones come out of mines, and those mines are also some of the shittiest places in the world. Some of them are actual conflict zones. But we don't want to know that, so we don't look it up. We just go, but I need cheap electronics, so whatever needs to happen to get me my phone at this price, I don't give any fucks. That's how we buy shirts. That's how we buy food. Literally, that is how the world works. Somewhere far away, there's something terribly happening to someone for us to get the thing that we want at whatever price it is we deem we want them. I am a black man. I buy a lot of cocoa butter. Cocoa butter comes from the Ivory Coast. The people that make it, they sell a pound of it for 10 US cents. I buy an ounce of cocoa butter for like 10 US dollars. When someone went back to them and told them, you understand that when you sell this, the people who repackage it sell all of these things for thousands of times what you got paid for this. And the ladies said, no, we didn't know.
And they're like, now that you know, will you ask for more money? And they say, we can't, because the warlords. And then they point. I know that. I'm not going to stop buying cocoa butter. So we choose. We don't go, all right, we're going to stick to our morals. If bad shit happens, then we're going to boycott this thing. No one does that. Churches don't do it, which is why I don't go to churches anymore. Because they're all hypocrites. But you don't get to turn and pivot and pretend. So, because we don't check. You don't check about all of your celebrities, the people that you watch. If I found out that Chris Nolan eats children, right? Then we'd go, we have to boycott all of his movies. He's eating children. Right? But does that make the movies that he made bad? No, we still watch them. When all of Jamaica said, we don't like gay people, The Lion King came out. A lot of those songs were written in part by Elton John. He is the gayest thing that ever existed. But people still like Lion King. And when I tell them that Elton John did that and sang some of the songs, they go, you see the gears turning there, like, no, well, I don't like gay people. And so by extension, I cannot like The Lion King. But it's the goddamn Lion King. So what am I going to do? Damon, you've trapped me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to think. Right? Don't test my morals. It's just there as a thing that I can use as a hammer whenever I need to hammer someone or a thing I don't like. But it's not uniform. I don't want it to be uniform. Leave me alone. No, we don't.
See, I think what it comes down to a lot of the time too is how vocal are you about, like, you're right, we are all hypocrites, but how vocal are you about being a hypocrite? So it's kind of like, you know, my trepidation with Birth of a Nation is not something I wrote about. It's not something I've spoken about publicly until now. I've had private conversations with it, you know, with other people about it, but it's my own choice. I think that a lot of the time is where it comes down to. The second you decide to, if you have a bad experience at a restaurant, you decide not to go back to that restaurant, awesome, good for you. Don't support something that doesn't deserve your support. But if you start to cry about it and get on Yelp and get on Twitter and tell everybody you know about your choice, that's when you start seem hypocritical. You know, so just make your choices, leave them as your choices. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe don't publicize your protest to everybody who happens to have a Wi-Fi connection.
So, I'm sorry, but for a half second, I forgot how... I know I was the one who brought up Nate Parker, but I've forgotten what we were talking about that got me to Nate Parker.
At some stage, we were talking about Top Gear.
All right. Yeah. No, it makes sense. He's an asshole. Right. Top Gear. All right. So, Ryan, I don't know if you know about the Top Gear quote-unquote scandal, because as it relates to scandals...
I heard about it,
Yeah.
I heard about it, yeah.
It's kind of tiny as it relates to scandals. Well, in the scheme of all
right.
of these,
yeah,
like,
the grand scale
nobody grabbed any kittens.
Now,
right?
Nowadays, a lot of
yeah, everything seems false equivalent.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Is in sharp focus.
But my point eventually was coming to, no one is, I don't know anyone who's a fan of Top Gear before the scandal occurred. There were more instances that happened before he actually got quote-unquote fired.
Right.
No, I don't know anyone who would go, I'm not watching Grand Tour, right, because fuck him, right? And I just find it interesting because, like how you say, you pick and you choose which ones you want. I actually was having a conversation with someone about this very sort of thing. Like, I didn't bring up specifics at the point, but I was like, what would it take? Like, what would you have to know about someone for you to say, yeah, I'm done with that, right? And I said specifically as it related to, like, consuming art, as opposed to, like, your friend,
right?
And I was like, so when Messi was brought up for tax evasion,
right?
No one is sitting down there going, Messi's never watching Messi play football again.
He's not helping out the children.
Oh man.
Right?
We could ask how long you want your show to go here, because we're going down a very deep rabbit hole.
What is the thing you'd have to hear about someone to be like, I'm done with that person's art?
I'm gonna answer your question by asking you a question. The racist Top Gear guy, what does he do? Does he just host Top Gear? Does he do anything else?
He's general media, so yeah. He's Top Gear, and he writes about cars, and that's about it.
He hosts things as well, so you might see him, before when he had an affiliation with BBC, you might see him host other BBC shows, but that's the kind of thing he does.
So he's basically paid for his personality and his opinion.
Yes. Right.
Okay, so that is a person who I would bail, because if... the entire interest in him and the entire reason why I even know who he is because of his personality and his opinion, and his personality and opinion have been deemed unfit, then no, sorry, I'm out. Where you will hang on to me is if you are a creator of some sort, or you are a facilitator of some sort, and what you do is greater than your misdeed. So I'm going to bring it back, because I love to do it. I'm going to bring it back to Kanye.
Because me and you both.
Oh, yes. So I consider myself a Kanye fan.
Oh, so and you know what? People. All right.
Cool. I am. Oh, yes. And you know what? He is an asshole, but he's my asshole, because the stuff he creates is goddamn genius and amazing every time. And I swear. And I swear, half the stuff that comes out of that man's mouth is absolutely calculated just to get us talking about him. I don't think he is nearly as crazy as he seems, and that this is all some installation art, you know, thing that he has come up with and you know, in his deep, dark dreams. The thing is, at the end of the day, he can still put on a record, point to that. Like, I could be sitting here saying, you are a self-centered, misogynistic, you know, jackass, and he could just drop the needle in the record, and I'd be like, right, okay, fine, yes, all right, done. That, you know, same thing. Yeah. Yes, I'm not paying him to be a nice guy. I'm paying him to drop the needle into shit that he does. It's the same, you know, that's the thing, is at a certain point, if I'm supporting the art and the art is good, I can keep supporting it. If I'm supporting just the person and the person is bad, I can't anymore.
But Andrew's question is the same. What would he need to do for you to go, I don't think I can give Kanye West any more money?
he probably needs to kill a person. Kill a person or rape a person.
Yeah, but then if he goes to prison and still makes good music in prison.
No, at that point he's done something too terrible.
Okay, so we have a guy here in Jamaica called Vybz Kartel. That we sent to prison a year ago? Something like that?
More than that.
At least three years ago. And he's been putting
Don't search him in YouTube.
Even more music since he's gone to prison than before. And
oh, man.
He went to prison.
It's like Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, he went to prison for killing someone.
Someone's.
Allegedly. One person specifically he went to prison for. Others, allegedly. And, of course, people still love his music, even though that he's gone to prison. But he's a gangster, so that fits his MO. He's never coming out. But he's still well-liked, loved in Jamaica. So that is clearly not the line for most Jamaicans. But I'm sure if you ask them, if you take Vybz Kartel out of Vita Ego, you like this person, right? What would it take for you to not listen to them? They'd probably end up around there. They're like,
most people stop at rape.
Yeah. Like, if you kill somebody,
like, if you start going down the line, like, whatever we'd consider like escalation of bad, right? When eventually you hit the word rape, everyone stops.
It's that kind of thing. And even, you know, my separation of the artist and the art, like, it would have to be unbelievable art to really override something really, really deplorable. It's inverse, right? And that's the thing, is that for a lot of the time, it's not. It might be really good, but it's not so good that it overrides their worst misdeed.
Right. So what we do to shelter ourselves from that is just not know. If we don't know, then we're straight. I don't need to know.
Yeah, we're good.
Don't tell me any of the bad things that happen that any of these people do. As long as I don't know they're bad people, I'm great. Keep watching and enjoying this.
Bliss.
Yeah, it is. When I find out, then the hammer comes.
FYI, that Grand Tour episode was great.
I'm outraged. I like cars.
We're going long, but I'm still going to stop here and ask, Ryan,
did you bring anything to the table? Is there something at this point that you're like, I still want to talk to these three assholes?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to ask Douglas because I know he's just sitting there with his phone.
No, I talked about Top Gear. I don't want to
say that. No, that came out to Damien.
It came out to me.
I'll ask a question and we can see how long we want to go with this. So, a friend of mine, Alex Hulse, here in Toronto, wrote something about how in the age of streaming media and on-demand media, that his physical collection is actually getting better.
I think I actually read that article.
Hey! So, the idea
no to
being...
the Economist.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So the idea being that the stuff that he really feels like he needs to keep is the bar has been raised, right? And he won't just buy stuff the way he used to buy stuff because it's all around him. So I guess I don't quite have the same approach. I'm certainly buying less than I used to buy in the age of digital. I still do buy hard copies, but far, far less. And it's this weird little, I buy one of two things only. I either buy a really, really highfalutin Criterion copy of something, you know, usually foreign, so often black and white, something like that, or I buy Ant-Man, right?
Andrew,
twin brother that lives in Toronto? Andrew just showed us a copy of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I got this in the mail like a week
and
ago.
And this podcast is over.
I love that movie.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
I guess so, Michael. So, Andrew, it's kind of funny because when I first heard, you know, about how you put your whole collection on a server, and you and I were talking about it, because I said, "Hey, how do I do this? This sounds like fun. I might want to do this." And you kind of talked me through. Okay, you'll do this step, and then I let it go, only because I got like locked by indecision because I thought to myself, "Well, wait a second, I could digitize the shit, and then get the shit off my shelves." Or let you know, my shit, of course, still be higher than most people's shit. Really? Nothing on that? Okay.
Nope, what else is on that slide?
So, I could digitize the shit, but then what's the point of digitizing the shit and having that taking up the server space? What if I take up the server space with the really good stuff and then get that off the shelves, but wait a second, I like that stuff, I want to have that on the shelf, and I just got like locked by indecision.
Would you like to hear Damien's methodology of doing this? Because he actually, like, we digitize some stuff. Damien actually digitizes everything.
Literally everything.
Right? Damien, can you please explain your process?
Buy more hard drives!
Yeah. And the truth is, right? So, me and Damien are aligned on this one. The only reason I haven't done it, and I would go way harder than Damien, I have a plan, is I have a certain financial obligation fairly soon.
Yes. I do not.
And you do not, so you can deal with this. But I've already decided. So for me, and this kind of steps into the category of something that I've been thinking about and talking about and bitching about to Andrew for a long time.
And I keep telling you the answer that you don't like to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is not just talking about digitizing my catalog that I have and what I will potentially get, but also just how I consume media and what I'm comfortable with in terms of this whole new streaming economy. For instance, I love Netflix, I love Hulu, I love all of those things. They're great, but
they're not, a lot of them aren't accessible here in Jamaica.
Well, no, forget that, right? There are, we access about 90% of what we want to access, so I'm okay with that, right?
Right.
I'm enjoying Filmstruck right now.
Exactly, right? But I have a huge problem, and I'm very selective about it. I understand this, and I'm trying to own that and trying to figure out. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I align that with me wanting to not be that H word. Mm-hmm. But I have a big problem with certain things. For instance, do I feel like I own something? So when I watch something on Netflix, I don't feel like I own it. I do not own that copy of Before Sunrise that is on Netflix that could be gone next month.
Right.
Right? I own the piece of plastic, that circular piece of plastic that's on my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And can rip it and put it on my hard drive if I want to, right, and then watch it more easily or whatever it is.
Faster.
And exactly. And if I want to then watch it on my tablet on the way to the to Toronto or wherever, I can put it on my tablet and do all sorts of things. I can't do that with Netflix. Andrew makes the argument that, but Douglas, you can download the Netflix app also on the tablet and watch it, but mm-hmm. it's not the same thing.
I think Amazon lets you download some of those
Amazon,
things.
Amazon yeah, Amazon put it saves on the tablet. Yeah.
It does, but then...
But I guess... But hang on, let me further this question though. For what you for the circular disc that you buy now, like I guess my question is, do you buy the circular disc of the stuff that you know you really enjoy no matter what? Like mm-hmm. you can watch it for the 60th time in a week mm-hmm. and still come up smiling, or do you buy the one that you thought was really good and really important and you always want to have around, even though you may only watch it once every 2 or 3 years?
So I think that depends on where I am, right? And that also has a lot to do with, let's say, things like work-life balance and all of that, because I would say that, oh my god, Andrew just brought up the new world.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I hate it so much.
this is the second time I'm buying this movie.
Yep.
So there are still things that I do that with. And let's talk about, say, even 3 or 4 years ago. I was a guy that bought all of these art house things that I'd watch once and put right. aside. And it would give yep. me the most joy in the world to right. just say that I have this in my collection.
Cinema.
Nowadays, I'm shifting more to the movies that I watch constantly. So things like Chef, things like Valley of Violence, things like John Wick. I will buy those.
Bone Tomahawk.
I will buy those and watch them on a daily basis. But I still, there's still, it's like a, it's analog, it's not digital. So it's like a shifter where while I may not... I'll buy less of the art house stuff, I still will buy something. I'll get whatever the latest Von Trier movie is without mm-hmm. a question. But will I buy, you know, that other art house movie that I love that maybe I know I'm not going to watch again? Maybe not so much. But it's but for me, it kind of steps on the question of what is ownership and am I comfortable not having the security that I can watch the thing that I think I own tomorrow? Because even when you buy things on Amazon or Vudu, what happens if, and I know Amazon is a stretch, but mm-hmm. what happens if Vudu says, you know what, guys, we ran out of money, so we're now out of business. Peace. How do I get to watch those movies again?
Hey, man, bigger companies than Amazon have gone away.
That's true. So
If I had told you in 1990 that Kodak wouldn't be around in 20 years, you would have locked me up.
Exactly. Right? And that's a problem for me.
I still say the joke in my head that I think is bigger than what you're getting to mm-hmm. is a guy living in America, building out his collection, happy and free, mm-hmm. having 1,000 movies in Amazon or whichever service he likes, one day gets a job in Hong Kong and realizes he can't watch any of those
yeah,
movies.
That too. Yeah. There's licensing issues.
Oh, so you mean like here in Jamaica, yeah. where we can't watch any of those movies? Yeah. Amazon doesn't show us 3 movies to Jamaica, right?
We did watch Grand Tour, right? How did we watch
Grand
Tour?
Yeah, how did you guys watch Grand Tour?
Well,
I am an Amazon Prime.
We took a quick trip to Miami. Okay? So,
but I live in Jamaica. How do I watch it in Jamaica? I'm not pirating it. Definitely
yeah.
not. Like your friend Ryan, I've been going down that road. What I'd say to you specifically is digitize the garbage, because the good movies are what you want to have on your shelf. So you can do those after the fact, providing there's no earthquakes or anything
It seems like so much effort for garbage.
No, but the thing is, space is cheap.
What do you got? What do you got on your hard drive?
Cheaper. Oh, look, you know. So you might as well do it with those first.
My hard drive.
What's that?
I said, look, I've got Soul Man on my hard drive.
Yeah, but no one can see that. Only you can see that.
Yeah.
You want Soul Man on the shelf.
It's like how nobody can see how many times I've watched The Chef.
Yeah.
Unless, I see the quota.
Right. Unless you go into the Kodi Excel file and look. Damn it, he's watched this a lot.
It's like when Lindsay logs into Netflix as me and it starts making all these suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
I'm praying that Cody never does that.
They have it. They have user profiles if you want to put it in.
No, I just mean suggest other movies that they think I'd like.
Oh, okay.
I hope they never put that in. Because that's a dark...
Because you watch Princess Diaries, you might like.
Right. There you go. But if you think about it, it will always just grab those suggestions from movies you have on your hard drive, which means have it there for some reason.
I live with women.
No. Right? Cookies are a bitch, man.
That likes crazy movies? So no. What I've been doing, I brought it up on the podcast once, and these two seemed as disinterested as I've ever seen them in anything I've ever said. I am currently narrowing down the movies that I have on my hard drive and will have in my house to 1,000. I wanted an arbitrary number, 1,000 movies. And the reason,
Damien, there are 1,001 Dalmatians.
Cool.
Come on.
The book is 1,001 movies you must watch before you die.
Yeah, that's fine. the reason for that is, every time I go through, by the time I get, every time I need to add a movie, it forces me to look at my collection again to see what are the movies I have there but won't watch. It's all well and good to go, you know, I enjoyed watching this art house movie. I did not enjoy watching Andrew's The New World. So that has no place being on it. But, there's the movies that are definitely in. Movies that I'll watch and love. Some of them are dumb, like Airborne. Airborne shouldn't be in anyone's collection, but it's never leaving mine. I'm going to have it forever. So then you have to have other movies that you look at and you go. And what I use is, if I have to say, I remember liking this, that is flagged. That one might have to leave. If that is how I view the movie. I remember liking this. Not, I love this movie, but I remember liking this movie. And then that starts a process where I watch the movie again and decide whether or not it's better than the other movies. But I don't want just this endless stream of madness. Because then it leads to me just having terrible movies,
Damien,
that I don't
but
like.
Damien,
on the box
you
for
said
eternity.
It yourself. Space is cheap, no. And it's just getting cheaper.
I understand.
There is
that.
No reason to not have every movie ever.
But I don't want to have every movie ever made that I like. There's
metadata.
No point in that.
Metadata. That's all. It's all about the metadata, guys.
There's no point in me having so many movies that I never watch them.
Damien, you don't understand
that road leads only to madness.
You don't understand. Well, first of all, we all know that I and you are mad.
Yeah,
but you don't understand how much I'm looking forward to my RAID system with 20 10 terabyte drives.
Yes, it's, but Douglas. Oh, Douglas,
so good. See, I was thinking about this.
Come out that will take up more space. Like, it will always be a chicken and egg thing with space. My thing is that I just want a hard limit on how many movies I have.
Yeah, what were you saying, Ryan?
Part of the reason why I thought about this today was because as I was putting together my post of my watch list for the last week, I realized that I had watched the Damien's gonna love this. I'd watched the Force Awakens for the fourth time this year, and I consider myself a cinephile, right? Like the Force Awakens didn't make my top 10 last year. It wasn't anywhere near that.
Because it's not terrible.
It's a nice movie, but that's about it. No, it's not terrible. And meanwhile, the movies that I have watched more than two times this year are The Force Awakens and Civil War. And I'm like, why are those the ones that I keep coming back to? And it's just because they're easy and I can put them on the background and they're harmless. They're not even the ones I like the most, but they're the ones I watch the most. So on the one hand, shouldn't I have hard copies of them?
So
but
absolutely,
on the other hand,
you should.
I tell you, we weren't watching The Force Awakens before David got here.
Exactly. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, as I said to you before, like right now, me going to TIFF and watching these crazy movies is a one-off. When I'm at home nowadays, I literally either Netflix or go on my Kodi box and say, okay,
make you watch something.
Right,
like, I made you
movie,
watch Cavalry this
no,
week.
But forget that kind of stuff. I literally look for a movie that
made him
I
watch
know
Cabaret?
I can
enjoy.
Watch. I can stop in the middle of it, you know, because I know that I probably won't have enough time to watch a whole movie.
Yeah. So then you don't need to have every single movie.
You need to have it. Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Because what if I want to watch it?
You won't.
No, that's not how my mind works.
Exactly.
This one.
I hate that movie. So throw it away.
Douglas, I was once like you. I thought, no, as long as I watch a movie, I like it, I should have it.
Yes.
But then there was movies that I had for so long that every single time I sit down, I'm like, I don't want to watch.
Actually, yeah. And that's the sad thing. I have movies that I have purchased that I may have watched before. I still have not watched it since I've purchased it. And that's actually a sad thing.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah, that's not good.
Bad. Yeah. Right.
Which that's a sign you got a problem right there.
Yeah.
Right. And the first step in figuring out your problem is admitting
it's denial.
Right. So yeah, we here at the Unnamed Movie Podcast believe in digitizing.
Yeah.
But also, I still own The New World and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah,
and
those won't go on any boxes.
Right?
No, I'll take
so
Mr.
how
and
do
Mrs.
I put
Smith.
These together? Uh-huh. Two ends of the spectrum.
How you do it is you take The New World and you throw it in the garbage.
And then you take Mr.
and
Mrs.
then you
Smith
keep Mr. and Mrs.
Smith. And
cover
up the garbage.
And I promise I haven't already pre-ordered the black and white version of Mad Max. Promise I haven't done that.
That's okay.
Just turn down the color on your TV.
Exactly.
Done.
That's what I said.
Finished. Good.
Got to settings, hit sepia.
Yep. At least when I pre-ordered the Before trilogy, that's the only way I can get the first two in HD. So yeah.
My only thing was, because I bought all of the James Bond movies, do I keep all 29,000 of them as one movie? Do I count that as one? Or do I count them individually? And I landed on counting
keep
them individually.
One. No,
no,
count them as one.
And then decided that some of these James Bond movies aren't good enough to
Damian,
stay.
No.
They had to be done.
I mean, there are the occasional, you know, tripe.
Right.
Like say, Die Another Day.
Yes.
Right. But it still is a James Bond movie.
That is fine.
And deserves the respect that title
and
carries.
Douglas, that is the easy way out. I no longer want. Douglas, 1,000 movies is a lot of movies.
No, it's not.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Tiny.
I'm pretty sure you could name me 1,000 westerns.
I can. Do I want to have all 1,000 westerns on me at all? Do I want Crime Busters on my box? I love Terrence Hill. The answer is no. Come on.
Damon,
I don't want it anymore.
Is there a
Crime Buster? No.
And on that note, I think that's the point where the podcast has been broken. Ryan, I'd like to congratulate you. I think you've gotten us to record the longest episode since we stopped doing news on this podcast.
Oh, shit.
I remember that.
I'm happy to add perspective and just stir shit up. I cannot tell you the amount of times I just put the microphone down, walked out of the room, I came back, oh, they're still talking, okay.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
I should try that.
So for those of you listening curious, you can find Ryan over at thematinee.ca writing continuously about his efforts to watch more films by women. And I continue to fail to hit those numbers. I think I've hit number 26. I saw the fits today, which counts. Right?
Wait, why do you say it like that?
The fits.
Huh?
Why do you say it like that?
Say like what?
The fits.
It counts.
It counts.
Like, no, but when you say something like that, usually it means that it's some sort of technicality.
Because it's short.
So how,
it's short.
Okay. Oh, it's not a real movie.
Okay. It's like an hour 10.
Oh, no, that's a real movie.
Listen, Kung Fury is a movie.
Okay, cool.
Kung Fury is the best.
And also you can hear him over at his podcast, The Matinee Cast.
Wait,
where
his podcast?
His podcast.
But both of you are on his podcast.
We have appeared from time to time.
Sons of bitches.
Your time is coming up. Don't worry. Yep.
Good luck finding Damien. You're going to have
I'm
to call
a
him
one
on his
podcast
phone.
Man. Damn it.
Hey, listen, Matt. I considered going with the parents to the trip to Jamaica just to do that.
Have you found the oxtail yet?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Drove past it today.
Okay.
I was like, oh yeah, there's the cafe. It's called like Terry's Jamaican Cafe. Apparently they do good oxtail.
Oh, nice.
It's like 10 minutes from my house. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
There you go. You should have it and inform us. Let us know what you think.
For the record, I am not a fan of oxtail.
Well, you're also not Jamaican. Something's wrong.
I enjoy oxtail gravy. Not a fan of the oxtail.
It is,
I'm weird.
It is good. Fatty.
Yeah.
I know I'm weird.
Fatty. Yeah.
And I am the one.
I should also.
Fish either, so.
But I love. Red herring, which is literally saltfish.
But I do want to thank you very much for having me on the show. This has been a lot of fun.
It was fun.
It's always fun to have you on the show.
I still know why you guys cheat on me. He seems nice.
Are you still filing the papers?
I'm still definitely going to file. I'm filing for ownership of this podcast.
Right, come on. Can we at least get visitation?
No
rights?
Visitation.
Come on.
Right? A clear breach of our podcasting contract.